Well, by this time, we are beginning to realize that this is becoming to be a marathon, not a sprint. No one has ever imagined that the pandemic, when we all started sometime in March, we never realized that this pandemic will be protracted or will last this long. But we face it with the strength of God, and all through these months, I believe God has taught us many things. And many of us have grown in our relationship with God, and particularly in the area of prayer. And thank you very much for joining me every day, not only for our protection, but for us to be sustained by God and hear God and let the light of God shine, even sometimes in the midst of darkness. And I pray and I believe that God has guided us, and we have to continue on as far as God wants us to go. In today's reading, we heard that this is a turning point in the ministry of Christ. We hear again Peter's confession, then Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, and we know how that ended. He told his disciples what will happen, and because of what he said, plainly, it says, the scripture says, that it garnered a rebuke from Peter. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem to be arrested, to suffer, to die, and I will rise from the dead. Now, I'm sure that this was something that was unimaginable for his disciples, quite a disturbing, disconcerting news. Then our Lord ends his discourse by telling his disciples what it means to follow him, I guess because it was going to be a testing time even for his disciples. He was preparing them for what was to come. This describes to succeeding generations of believers, not only to the disciples, to the succeeding generations of believers, but also to us, what it really means to be a Christian. We live in a world shaped by stories, from what C.S. Lewis said and Alistair McGrath, by narratives which tells us who we are and what really matters in life. This is some questions that normally we push aside, but really when we get to the brass tacks, we begin to ask ourselves some of these essential questions. Who we are? What is our purpose in life? There are a lot of stories floating around about life and existence. One that is prevalent, particularly in the Western culture, is that we are here by accident, meaningless products of a random process. We can only invent meaning and purpose in life and stay alive, even if there is no point to life. This is a narrative favored by many writers like Jean-Paul Sartre and Richard Dawkins and the like. Some, in different parts of the world, there's another story that is more fatalistic story, which is totally void of hope, meaning, and purpose. And so what happens is that people resort to luck, people resort to superstition. So with all these stories floating around, which story can we trust? People act upon stories based on ideas. It's like actors that is reading a script and then portrays it in their lives. That is what life is all about. We live a story. Well, let me ask you this question. At the dawning of the industrial age, there is a question worth asking. Of course, now we are in the digital age, but we're still affected by the effects of the industrial age. But let me ask you this question. Let's put this question in front of us. Do we work to live, or do we live to work? Let me ask that question again. Do we work to live, and do we live to work? Well, I'll keep the answer perhaps sometime, but keep that in mind. When people believe that life's purpose is earthly success equated to the accumulation of wealth, but then all of a sudden wealth vanishes, what happens to us? As C.S. Lewis says, don't focus your happiness or don't let your happiness depend on something that you are going to lose. We need to choose the right story. Now let's look at the Christian story. What is the Christian narrative? What is the Bible telling us? Here is the story, or part of the story. We are precious creatures of a loving God who created us for something special that we are asked to do, greater than what you and I can imagine. And we have the privilege of being able to do something good and useful for God in this world. Let us for a moment look at, again, the ministry, the earthly ministry of our Lord. What did He do? What was He busy about? He preached, taught, healed people who were sick, delivered and freed people who were oppressed by the devil, fed multitudes. Beyond that, He spends time in solitary with His Father in prayer. And furthermore, what did He do? He spent, shared, and gave His life to 12 men by association. He associated with them. He ate with them. He walked with them. In Christian terminology, this is what we call discipleship. And in the reading today, Jesus summons the crowd. No longer 12, but the crowd, and extends an invitation to become one of His disciples. In other words, to be a Christian is not something that happens by default or by cultural heritage. My brothers and sisters, I grew up in a country where Christianity was and is a cultural heritage. And discipleship, and the word discipleship, was something that was unheard of. I did not hear discipleship. But one thing that we have known as I began to delve into the Word of God, that there is no Christianity without discipleship, as we have seen in the life of Jesus. I thought that discipleship and to be a disciple was only an exclusive for 12 men whom Jesus called. That means, am I called of God? Does discipleship apply to me? Does the Bible apply to me? I was not part of the 12. I am not part of the 12. But what He said to the 12 applies to us. To be a Christian is a personal decision that must be made with utmost sincerity and resolve, and with at least partial grasp of its implication. And Jesus, without hiding the true essence of following Him, tells us exactly today. He did not have things under His sleeves that will surprise us one day. Jesus was more than a good moral teacher to His disciples. A teacher is someone that we would call, that we would imagine as teaching in a classroom. But Jesus was different. Rather, He shared. Not only did He teach, rather, but He shared and gave His life to His students, even to the point of death. That makes Jesus a totally different kind of teacher. Today's reading speaks about the cost of discipleship. And this is what I'm talking about. That Jesus did not hide anything from His disciples. He shared it plainly, so they would understand what they were getting into. To what it really means to be a Christian. To what it really means to follow Christ. To what it really means to serve God. To what it really means to love God. In this life, here and now. Jesus says, whoever desires to follow Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Those are, again, very disconcerting words. I'm sure that the disciples were taken aback, surprised. Is this what it means to follow Jesus? Again, I said a while ago that Jesus was preparing His disciples for the coming death of the Messiah and what they will undergo. But there's something in these words that Jesus said. Denying oneself, carrying one's cross, is indeed a symbol of suffering that Christians may face as they embark into following Jesus and embark into a life of obedience in a relationship with Christ. Remember that when we were confirmed, it says the bishop, you know, slaps us on the face and says, in this world, you will receive persecution and even suffer for your faith. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. We are reminded of what Christian life is all about. But life is more than here and now. Beyond the possible struggles, the potential sufferings. But life of obedience has something else to offer to us. Life with Christ, a relationship with Christ, has something more to offer to us. The idea of Christianity has something more to offer to us. Purpose, meaning. Yes, it may be pragmatic where it says there is suffering and persecution, but there is meaning and purpose. And life goes beyond what you and I see and what we know life is. And that is the life here in this world that we live in. What is coming is better. The best is yet to come. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, from the words of St. Paul, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here and now, in this world, I live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith on an everyday basis, trusting and following the Son of God, who loved us himself and gave himself for us. He gave himself on the cross. Which means that what Paul is saying is faith means considering the old self dead, the old self that we inherited from the first Adam, and that we rise up with Christ to a new life. That's the reason why he was resurrected. From the words of C.S. Lewis and Alistair McGrath, he said, this means that we gain a new identity while remaining to be individuals who are loved by God. It doesn't mean that we lose our uniqueness, our being unique individual. We become new individuals instead without ceasing to be individuals. Our purpose, our meaning, and our identity can only be found in Christ.